Open your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, starting at verse number 31. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, starting at verse number 31. Text says, then he, speaking of Jesus, went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath began to teach the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his message had authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, ha, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Be quiet, Jesus said sternly. Come out of him. Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. And all the people were amazed and said to each other, what is this teaching? With authority and power, he gives orders to evil spirits and they come out. And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. And Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. And when the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. How many people here within the recent weeks have been bitten by the flu bug? I hate getting sick. Though I'm not sure I know anyone who enjoys getting sick. But sicknesses and pain, it's part of life. I didn't think that when I was younger and played basketball and football that I would be paying for it 20 years later. I've got bad knees, I've got bad ankles, I've got a bad wrist, I've got a bad shoulder, I have some hurts, I've got some problems. I don't like hurting. I don't like hurting all the time. But again, who does? On top of all of that, I am a diabetic. Some of you here are diabetic. As a result of my diabetes, I have neuropathies, which are these sharp pains that just come out of nowhere because I have some damaged nerves. Anybody know about those? And they just come out of nowhere. So you might be talking to me and you might see me just go, ah, something like that. Don't be afraid. It's just a neuropathy. They hurt. My wife says that I'm overdoing it. I'm not overdoing it. I'm telling you, it feels like a needle is being stuck in your side. It can be miserable. And you know that with diabetes comes a whole other wealth of other issues that comes with that horrible disease. Yes, some of you might not have diabetes, but some of you, I know, have cancer. I know that some of you have loved ones who have cancer. I know that some of you have lost loved ones with cancer. And so you know the daily and rigorous struggle of getting care, taking care of yourself, taking medicine, seeing doctors, getting treatments, and paying for it. You know, as a diabetic and you know, I have high blood pressure and I take a total of 8 different medicines every day. And on top of that, my wife takes, I believe, between 4 and 6. And now we have a pretty decent insurance plan. But prior to some changes in our insurance plan, we were paying anywhere from $300 to $400 a month just in co-pays. And so I know that some of you may not have that type of insurance or some of you are paying completely out of pocket. You know that caring for these diseases that you have, it's expensive. It wears on you. How are you going to pay for these things? But you know that you have to take these medicines. And we want to take these medicines. We want to get the care. We want to go get the treatments because ultimately, we want to be healed. Church, this is not a 21st century issue or feeling. Since the beginning of time and after the fall, men and women have been suffering from pain and disease, and they have wanted to get well. They want and desire healing. And there are remedies that have been developed, natural remedies, synthetic remedies, pills, medicines, insulins, all have been created to treat pain and these diseases. Some are more successful than others. But at the end of the day, we want to be healed. I know I've told this story before, but I remember years ago when my father-in-law was alive, my father-in-law suffered from diabetes, and he was a double amputee, and he had bad eyesight, he had a bad heart, he had bad kidneys, he had a bad liver. The effect of diabetes really was getting to him. And I remember we went out to lunch one day. We were at Denny's and we were eating. It was the first time I ever ate egg over easy. And I remember saying to myself, man, I really like this yellow goo stuff. But I remember talking to my father-in-law. He was sitting across from me, and he at this one just moment while we were eating, just had this blank stare. And I remember him looking at me and saying, man, I wish I could just get healed. I wish I did not have to go through all the effects of these diabetes. And he just kind of shook his head. And I've never been overwhelmed with a sense more than this point of just wishing that God would have blessed me with the ability to just touch somebody and heal him. I want it so much. Anyone ever felt that way? When you've been with a loved one, when you've been with your loved one, a spouse, a child, and they're sick, they're struggling with something, and you wish you can just slap them on the shoulder, or you wish you can just embrace them and say you're healed, and they walk away healed. So there is a desire for us to be healed, and there's also a desire within us for others to be healed. Let's go to the world of Luke, because he has painted in his retelling of the story of Jesus a great story, a repeated story of the healing ministry of Jesus. Jesus has launched himself into ministry, and he jumps right into it. Recall last sermon we talked about his baptism and his start of his ministry as he was about 30 years old. As he is teaching in a synagogue, one day a man is possessed by an evil spirit, and he's healed. He's made hail. He's made whole. He's made well. Following that, Jesus goes to the house of Simon's mother-in-law and heals her of a dangerously high fever. She was made well. And this spurred others to come to Jesus requesting to be healed. And Jesus laid hands on them and healed them. This would be a repeated scene throughout the Gospel of Luke. And it cannot be ignored that when it came to physical sicknesses and hurts, Jesus paid attention, and where possible, he healed. I mean, here's a sampling of some of the healing miracles in the Gospel of Luke. In Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16, we read the story of Jesus healing a man with leprosy, a dreaded disease that not only had its physical complications, but for most, for all, it meant a social death. It means that you were quarantined and you were an outcast. We'll talk a little bit about that later on. In Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 26, we read of a man who was paralyzed. He was a paralytic. And with the help of some friends, they tore through the roof of someone's house and lowered this man in. And Jesus not only healed him of his paralysis, but also forgave him of his sins. In Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17, we see Jesus raising a young man to life, and it was done to help out a widow. We'll talk a little bit about that in a few moments. In Luke chapter 7, in verse number 21, The text says there that at that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. Again, we get this commentary or this summary statement that Jesus went about his way. He was teaching, he was preaching, but he was also making people well. In Luke chapter 8, verse number 26, he heals another man who was demonically possessed. And there's a long narrative there about his healing ministry, and that became a repeated thing, that Jesus not only was giving people their sight and giving people the ability to walk again, but he was also casting out evil demons. Luke chapter 8, 40 through 56, we read of two stories where Jesus first is inquired by a soldier to come and heal his daughter who had fell ill and eventually died. And then the story of a woman who had a bleeding issue for several years and was determined to get with the crowd and get her healing, and she reached out to touch the hem of the garment. In Luke chapter 9, verse number 37, there we see another healing of Jesus where he healed a young boy who was possessed by a demon. In Luke chapter 13, in verse number 10, we read of Jesus in a synagogue healing a woman who had a back issue, had some back pain. Anybody here got some back pain today? He healed this woman with this back issue. She had this issue for the text says 18 years. She was bent over because of her back. In Luke chapter 14, in verses 1 through 4, Jesus healed a man with a disease called dropsy, which was a disease where your face and or limbs would fill up with fluid. In Luke chapter 17, verse number 11 through 19, we read the story of Jesus healing 10 lepers. And these 10 lepers all go to show themselves clean to the priest, and only one returns to thank Jesus, to be grateful, and it was a Samaritan of all people. And in Luke chapter 18, verse number 35, Jesus, on his way to Jericho, healed a blind man there. Now, I could preach an individual sermon on all of those texts and all of those episodes. Now, the scope of this sermon this morning and this series doesn't allow me to dedicate a sermon to each episode or further exploration of each episode, but please allow me to highlight what we learn about Jesus from these healing episodes, okay? Number one, Jesus cared. Jesus was deeply concerned about the spiritual status of the world, but he was also concerned about the spiritual and physical impact of sickness and disease. Take, for instance, the healing in Luke chapter 7, the healing of the widow's son. Chapter 7 of Luke, verse number 11, it says, soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. You have to understand that a widow losing her only son meant tremendous hardship. Our spiritual concern need not be limited to just the spiritual. Understand that this widow losing her son, that meant that her care, that meant that her financial resource was going along with her dead son. And so Jesus looked at this woman with great care and great concern, knowing that the death of her son wasn't just the loss of a son. That's tremendous, and that's enough to you know, draw somebody into a deep depression, but also to know that there would be no one to take care of her. And Jesus' heart went out to her, and he healed her son. We should care about the spread of disease in our world. We should care about the health of others. We should care about the lack of access of care for the poor and the underprivileged. Jesus had a heart. He was human. He wasn't just some robot going around doing this and touching this and saying this, but he had a heart, he had compassion, and he cared. And we are his disciples, we are his followers, we wear his name, and we should care too. Number two, Jesus didn't discriminate. The healing ministry of Jesus led him to offer healing to a wide variety of individuals. There were those who were blind. There were those who were crippled. There were those who were stricken with leprosy. There were those who had died and those who had mental illnesses. Even in a moment of conflict, Jesus healed. Take, for instance, in Luke chapter 22, verses 47 through 51, we read of Jesus' arrest that would eventually lead to his crucifixion. One of Jesus' disciples, in trying to protect Jesus, cut off the ear of one of the men trying to seize Jesus. And the text says, when Jesus' followers saw that what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Now, this healing may have had a lot to do with Jesus' teaching regarding the treatment of enemies. Nonetheless, Jesus did not withhold healing even from his enemies. His enemies were even blessed by him. Number three, disease did not cause Jesus to disregard. The blind in the days of Jesus were ones who were often disregarded. Their illness was one that often connected to a belief that God was punishing them for their sin or the sin of someone in their family. I think it's one of the reasons we hear the blind man pleading for mercy. In the text in Luke chapter 18, it says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." You see, church, to me, this sounds like a plea from someone who has been disregarded. You have to question why they told him to be quiet. Why did the people tell this blind man to be quiet? Because he was probably disregarded. Be quiet. He don't want to talk to you. You're blind. You're an outcast. No one cares about you. You've got sin in your life. You've got sin in your family's life. Be quiet. But we learn that Jesus, on the contrary, didn't disregard. He engaged those who were outcasts. Number four, Jesus responded with the appropriate remedy. As we read through Luke, take note of how Jesus had the power to speak healing into being, but also take note of the instances he not only spoke healing into existence, but he touched. I want to thank Connie Wallace for reminding me that Jesus sometimes just spoke. Remember the text we read of Simon's mother-in-law, where Jesus just spoke and rebuked the fever, and the fever left her. But recall this story in Luke chapter 5, starting at verse number 12, and we're talking about a leper. Lepers were indeed outcasts. We might not understand what that means entirely today. I mean, we have so many things to quarantine. We have, what's that stuff that you spray on your hands that all y'all people carry in y'all pockets and won't even shake my hand unless y'all squirt some on your hand. We're so consumed with disease and spreading disease, and we carry our Germ-X around with us and everything. We might not understand the powerful picture that's portrayed here in the Gospels of the life of a leper. The life of a leper meant living as an outcast with other lepers. That meant having no contact with your family members that were well. That meant I can't hold my baby and sing a lullaby. That meant no intimacy with my wife. That meant no close contact with any of the buddies or the friends or your football buddies. It meant living in a place with other lepers and being reminded every single minute of the day that you were a leper. But listen to this story, Luke chapter 5, verse number 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him. Do you see that Jesus touched him first and then said, "Be clean"? Sometimes the power of touch provides more a sense of healing than the medical healing. Don't forget that. The healing ministry of Jesus was an exhausting ministry. When you read the numerous instances of Jesus' healing, you see after every healing, his popularity soared. That meant more and more people wanted to be seen by Jesus and healed by Jesus. To prevent burnout, Jesus employed two remedies for himself. The first was prayer. Luke chapter 5, verse number 15. The news about him spread all the more, so the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Once again, we are immersed into the prayer life of Jesus. Jesus prayed often. Burnout happens. When you are constantly healing and tending to the needs of people, it will drain you. When you see success in the healing of 10, you see 100 more people wanting to be healed on the horizon. And Jesus was God's son. He was divine, but he was also human. And when the crowds came, the text says he often withdrew. Some of you are very gifted and talented at giving care to others. But listen to me. If all you do is give care and give care and give care and give more care, you will burn out. Ask me about it sometimes. You will burn out. And that's why sometimes we need to withdraw. Sometimes we need to go to a lonely place. Sometimes we need to escape. Sometimes we need to turn the phone off. Sometimes we need not to check the email. Sometimes we need to just get away and be alone with the Father. Say, "Father, feed me, because I'm on the verge of burnout." So burnout was averted through the discipline of constant prayer. But that was only one remedy. The other remedy was partnership. Luke chapter 9, verses 1. It says, "When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and," what does that next phrase say? "Heal the sick." 2 or 3 or 12 or 84 are better than one. The disciples were invited to fully participate in the healing ministry of Jesus. And we are given a glimpse on the grandest scale what it means to be a part of God's kingdom. We have been called to be a part of God's desire to heal this land. It's not enough to just rest and sit back and watch and enjoy all of God's blessing and watch what God is doing. It's time to put on our hospital scrubs and participate. We can participate by caring. We can participate by not discriminating and understanding that everyone in this world may have a physical defect, but most certainly has a spiritual defect and is in need of God's healing. We can participate by not dismissing or disregarding. We can participate by responding with the appropriate remedy. That remedy might be prayer. That remedy might be getting medicine for someone. That remedy might be supporting a medical mission. That remedy might be touch. You might be asking yourselves, or asking me in your brain, not out loud, how can we practically participate in the healing ministry of Jesus in the 21st century? I don't have the gift of miraculous healing. I don't have the power to drive out demons. Well, here are a few suggestions. It's just my suggestions, and it's maybe just some practical ways that we could really enter into the world of Jesus and his care, not just for the spiritual, but also for the physical. Here's a few suggestions. Why don't you or I volunteer at a local clinic or a church or a hospital? I grew up in a family, a low-income family in Buffalo, New York, and we didn't have great insurance. And most of my health care as a child came from a local community clinic, the William and Emsley Clinic. That's where I got all my immunizations. That's where, if I got sick, that's where mama had to go take me. And I want you to know that there are some workers in there that are doing tireless jobs trying to provide care for low-income families and people who can't afford to go to the big hospitals because they simply can't afford it. But just take a day this year and just go to one of these clinics and say, how can I help out today? Can I run some errands? Can I do some paperwork for you? There's also, if you go down Palmer Road here at the Vineyard Community Church, and I forget the specific days, but they have a free health screenings on various days. They have vision. I know there's some people here that help out with the vision screenings. And there are ways that we can participate in offering help to others. Another way is, you know what, when you got some free time, go to a hospital waiting room. And don't go and don't be conspicuous by your presence. I mean, don't go there with a big, you know, family Bible and you know, your Jesus Christ, you know, cologne on and everything. Just dress normal. Just dress normal and go into the waiting room and just find a place and just pray. Just pray for all the people who are going into surgery. Pray for the families that are out there in that waiting room waiting for the doctor to come out and give them good news. Pray for the families that are going to receive bad news. Pray for the doctors, pray for the nurses, pray for the people over in billing that sometimes have to deal with people who get the sticker shock and don't understand why it costs so much. Another idea, and I think this really involves all of us, is that we begin to create conversations in the body here and how we can be more participatory in helping people in our community and their health concerns. I know that last year, Greg Gaines taught a class on nutrition and some other things, you know, dealing with, you know, becoming healthier, and he's going to be offering that class again. You know, maybe, I know we got some medical staff in here, you know, maybe it's something that we can do as a body, as a church here, to offer free screening. You know, diabetes is becoming an increasing problem, particularly in poor communities and communities of minorities. And maybe we just offer a one-day screening to check people's blood sugar to see if they're diabetic. There are so many people who are diabetic and they have no clue that they're diabetic. There are a ton of people who have high blood pressure and have no clue that they have high blood pressure. And maybe we as a body can dedicate some time and some resources to really focus on some of the physical needs of our community when it comes to healthcare. It was just three practical ideas. But maybe you have your own. Let's start talking about it. Let's start talking about it with each other. I've shared this several times that at the Community of Care dinner, one of the rising and alarming instances that we're beginning to see more and more and more is the rising instances of mental illness. And there's a conversation to be had as to what can we offer this world when it comes to mental illness. Church, I wonder if it would have been easier in the first century if Jesus had access to the internet. What if when the crowds came, he said, listen, just go to the web, go sign up at healthcare.king, and we'll, you know, stand in and we'll get to you. Sign up, you'll receive the care you need. You know, the title of this sermon intentionally draws comparison to our nation and the healthcare debate. You will not be successful in engaging me in a debate on whether or not Obamacare, Affordable Care Act, whatever you want to call it, is good or bad. I'm not going there. But I will say that this debate illustrates how easy it is for us to vehemently debate issues regarding health, the health of others. Now, I do not pretend to tell you that I have an answer regarding the government's participation or how much it will cost, or how much it should cost, or who should make the decisions, or who should pay for it. I suspect that in this auditorium, there are differences of opinion on those matters, but I'm not here to focus on where we disagree. But can't we all agree that the king of healthcare has a desire to heal? Can we agree on that? Can we agree that we cannot sit on the sidelines and watch people suffer the ill effects of physical and mental health? Is that something we can agree on? Can we agree that as disciples of the King, we have a calling that is higher than politics and government? Can we please get an amen on that? Amen. Can we agree that while we may not possess miraculous healing power, we do have the power to promote healing? I don't have the gift of miraculous healing, but I have the power to walk in a hospital room and pray. You have the power to volunteer. You have the power to donate to medical missions. You have the power to care. And you have the power to touch. You have the power of the King to offer healing in Jesus' name. The sad reality is that not everyone was healed in Jesus' day, and not everyone will be healed in our day. But there is no reason to not care, to discriminate, or to disregard. Some say that the Gospel of Luke pays particularly close attention to the healing stories of Jesus because the author is proposed to be Luke, the physician. That might be true. But what we know for sure, and what we know for sure is true, is that Jesus is a physician, and the kingdom of God is a hospital. And in the kingdom of God, there is opportunity for healing. Healing in the name of Jesus It's the only kingdom where the king is also the doctor. And Jesus says this about himself, or says this about the kingdom. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And we'll explore that in more detail next week. I'm gonna ask Trina, where's Trina? Here you go. Could I ask you to come forward? We're gonna have an invitation song in just a moment, and I wanna share, Trina is planning to respond to the invitation and share her story, and I just wanted to get a jump start on that. So if you just go ahead and have a seat here. And I just wanna share her request, because it fits like a glove with what we're talking about today. Before I get to Trina, a friend of mine up north who's a minister up north at the Alum Creek Church of Christ has a friend who will be in town in a couple of weeks. He's a brain surgeon, and he and his wife have had a plan ever since before going to medical school to dedicate their lives to mission work and the kingdom of God. And they are planning on going to Chad in Africa to open up clinics and to dedicate their life. Now, I don't know if you know this, but brain surgeons make a lot of money. They're giving that all up to go to Chad, and they're going to go live a year in France so that they can learn French, which is, I think, the official language in Chad. Their ultimate goal is to establish themselves in Chad and make their ways into Sudan. This is a wonderful opportunity, and I think there's gonna be an opportunity to learn more about what he's doing, and some of you may be interested in partnering with them in some way, maybe a small way, donating, you know, a few dollars to help them in their travels to Paris. They're gonna live a year in Paris, then move to Chad, and then ultimately to Sudan. Trina shared with some of you, and want to share with the rest of the body, that her mom, B. Cloud, who has been living in a care facility for some time, but just found out within the past few days that she has some form of cancer. Miss B. will be 92 years old. Which means that options are very limited when it comes to caring for someone who has cancer at that age. Trina is asking us to pray for Ms. B. She's asking us to reach out to Ms. B. Probably one of the best ways to reach out to Ms. B and not be overwhelming to Ms. B is to send cards. But if you do go visit, one of the things that Trina is just really asking us to do is to really go with a positive attitude, with a positive spirit. Let's not dominate the conversation about cancer, but let's just dominate the conversation with just love and joy and just casual conversation. I enjoy sitting down and talking to Ms. B. I've always enjoyed that. And so if you've not had that opportunity and you want to do that, maybe you want to go with someone who knows Ms. B and go and do that. But in addition to that, Trina just wanted me to share with you all some wonderful blessings that have amounted even in the midst of this great struggle. Because it's been a great struggle for Trina for quite some time, and we've been praying for months about decisions of moving Miss B out of her home and into a care facility, and Trina has a sister in Nashville that, you know, they've got to get on the same page, and Trina has a husband that they've got to, and she just wanted me to share just some of the blessings that's been taking place, and I would say as a result of this community participating in kingdom work and in the healing work and healing ministry of Jesus. You know, there was some concern about the selling of the condo. The condo sold. There was some concern about getting all the stuff moved out the condo. Because she has such a loving and supportive husband, the condo is empty. There's some unity and some harmony with her sister, and there's some struggles, but she's able to see some blessing. It has been amazing in what I've been doing for the past several years. When I go and visit someone who's, you know, they have a family member who's sick, and we begin to pray for healing for that family member. And that family member may pass away or get worse. But to see all the rest of the things in their world beginning to heal. Do you see, church, how we can participate in a healing ministry of Jesus that's not all about someone's physical body becoming whole? But do you see the bigger picture here? Do you see how we can now participate with Trina and Nick and Barbara and Miss B and partner with them in not only praying for B to get well, praying for her to get physical healing, but praying for that world, their family to continue to just heal and to be blessed through this. See, church, these are the conversations we need to start having. These are the conversations we need to have and we need to participate in, we need to move in. Because in doing so, we're partnering with Dr. Jesus. The church is a hospital. I believe that. And I believe that as I look at some faces right now, there's some people in here who want healing. You've got some bones that are hurting. You want healing. We'll pray for that. You've got cancer. You want healing. We'll pray for that. You've got some mental illness. You've got some depression. We'll pray for healing for that. We will. That's our promise as the body of Christ. You've got some sin issues because guess what, church? That's a sickness too. We'll pray for that. But the kingdom of God has to be viewed as a hospital. And we've got to be willing participants because we all need healing. So as we sing this next song, if there's something that you need healing of, if there's something you want to share with the body, if you want to come up here and join with Trina and touch her, later on the shepherds will be praying for Trina specifically. If there's something that you want to share with the body, you want us to partner in with, if there's conversations that you want to get started, we don't have to start that right here, right now, but after we say amen, as you're eating garlic and spaghetti, spaghetti and garlic as you're eating, if you want to have conversations about how we can participate in better health for our world, I want to encourage you to have those conversations. So let's stand, let's sing, and I'll offer you Jesus' healing.